Chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. So if you have a blue Bible, it's on page 447. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Pray for James as he comes to speak to us. Father, thank you for those words. Thank you that you want to guide us and you want to lead us into your wisdom. And we pray for James as he speaks to us now that we will be ready to hear what you are saying to us. Lord, that whatever our situation, whether we are children, young people, parents, godparents, friends, aunts, uncles, any of us here, Lord, that we are part of this family, and we pray that we will hear what you have to say about wisdom and about wisdom for parenting and for children as well. We bless James now. Amen.
Before I dive into today's talk, I just want to feedback a little bit of going out on Thursday night. There's just a select group of us went out, but we'll give you one or two little accounts. Steve, come and join me, would you? So Steve had a little conversation with a couple of people, but one of them I think was quite interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. On Thursday, I was standing in front of the Headington bus stop that's in front of Iceland, I happened to see a man. I thought I can talk to him, and I always stand with the clipboard. I find it's easier because the people know that you are after something. So I went to him and I showed these two questions and said, I'm from Headington Baptist Church, and we're interested to find out what people are thinking about these questions. He said he's not religious. And then I asked him the second question, and he said, he paused for a minute, and then he said, I think as a human being, I have a unique part to play in this world. Because of that, very difficult to say whether God loves me or not. Then he said he worked with Stuart Benham, and in the same line, and now he's at Churchill, but he spoke about Stuart with very high respect about his professionalism. And I thought, after that I was thinking that's how important it is to maintain our professional integrity. So this is the question, he's not able to say no, and one of the reasons he said is, he find as a human being, we have a unique part to play is because of his work. He see that his work is not allowing him to say no.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, so it's interesting, isn't it, how these paths cross, and you go out and you start talking to people, and you're not quite sure what the links are, what the connections are, and what those questions might stir up, and how that might be followed up with Stuart. I think he knows you as well, Paul, apparently, this character. So there's two of you he's looking at. great, isn't it? And you think, well, where do those questions go to? I had an interesting evening. I went and
everybody. I didn't actually speak to any strangers because I kept on bumping into people I knew. I had four conversations with people I knew, and the last one was a young man. I won't say his name, but he's trying to put his life back together again. I'm talking about a very young man, and having gone some wrong ways, and he's in that catch, which means that he's got nowhere to live. He's on the he's a rough sleeper. You know, and our society doesn't know how to cope really with some of these young men at the moment, and it's really, really, really difficult. But I know him from other contexts, and I was able to share the gospel with him, and we looked at the forgiveness of Jesus, and he said, "Yeah, but what if you can't forgive yourself?" And I said to him, "Well, you know, if you went into a court of law." And all the case was heard, and the judge says, "Well, actually, you're innocent. You know, there's no fine to pay. There's no prison to go to. You're free. You know, off you go. Enjoy your life." You could say, "Well, I don't feel innocent," and the judge will say, "Well, tough. You're declared innocent." And I said, "That's what you're at with Jesus. You know, you may not feel it, but tough you are if you've received him and his forgiveness." And I said, "But also, when you do receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit will help you to receive the things that he wants to give you and wants you to know." And it was a lovely conversation, so we'll be seeing more of him, so that's great. So it was a good evening. But also, Becky didn't feel she had such a great evening in terms of some of the conversations she had. She just had a nice conversation, but didn't feel that perhaps it went so strongly. But that's the thing about coming back together at the end, because we all hear each other's experience. And if you haven't had such a dynamic time, you hear some folk who've had a more dynamic time, and then you can pray for these characters. Right, now, can I ask you, has anyone got any stories from actually trying some of these questions out with your neighbours or your colleagues or whatever that you want to just jump up and share? No? Last week, I had to go around giving these to people. Yeah? Could you just take one voluntarily yourself this week? And because I believe that these two simple questions here will give you ways in to open some of those conversations that perhaps you haven't had a cause to have yet, and just get you over that little starting point. And we would love to hear what comes back. Take some of these little leaflets which share the gospel, but also tell them a bit about what goes on in HBC. We'd love to hear your stories when you come back, please. Actually, I have to say, I don't think I'm going to be... What day is it? No, I won't be here next week. Well, I'm a sole survivor next week, aren't I? Is that right? Yes, that's right. Next weekend, I'm not here. So somebody else will have to sort that. I'm not quite sure who's leading. But I hope that I'll hear reports of masses of people wishing to share wonderful stories of talking with your friends and neighbours and stuff. So let me pray for us. Father God, I pray that you'd motivate us to take these steps at this point, that we can use this resource, this simple little moment, to start some of those conversations and let you see where we go to with those things. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good. Incidentally, I do want these forms back in, please. We will write them up. I'm interested in the results, and I think it would be an interesting thing to look at when we've got everything together. So if you do some questionnaires, sorry, when you do your questionnaires, if you can pop it back in my pigeonhole, that'd be great. But please be sure to put your name at the top, so that in case I need to come back and ask you what your writing means. Or other questions. Right. Wise with children. Of course, I'm an expert on this one. It's sometimes wonderful, isn't it, to have scripture, because you think, well, I wouldn't dare stand up and pontificate from the front of church, but actually I can just teach some of the things that scripture tells us, and so that removes it from that personal claim to personal wisdom. Families are funny things, aren't they? I've got some such funny memories of our kids. Some wonderful, wonderful memories of those moments when children do those things that you suddenly realize they're seeing the world in a completely different way, and they surprise you completely, and it's that surprise that just grabs you, doesn't it? And I can remember times when there were some hard moments, when they were small, and you could come back in, you get greeted with that big smile and that, you know, that love, and you think, wow, you know, you just couldn't stay sad with that confronting you. You know, these joys, aren't they? I can remember the time and when Daniel, this was just a few years, not toddler, but, you know, still quite small, when Daniel suggested I should go in for the Olympics because I could win. You know, you think I said, son, you've got some things to learn here. But but it's that kind of sense, isn't it? It's a wonderful moment in life when you have that kind of thing going on. But there's also, obviously, those very tired moments, very demanding moments, moments where your buttons have been pushed and you can sense responses rising in you that shouldn't be there, because anger that shouldn't be directed at a child. And we know we have those two sides of our experience. And as life goes on, we reflect back on the goods and the bads that our parenting has shown us in our hearts. And as we're as a church together with children amongst us, I guess we probably feel some of those things together, you know, how we respond to the children around us here. But let's have a look and see what Scripture has to say. I will be keeping my scope very much into Proverbs, because we're in Proverbs today and I want to do that. I put here that Proverbs is the biggest parental nag ever. I found this little graphic. I haven't got the soundtrack with it. I don't know what it is, but clearly Bart is being nagged by his mother. He prefers the sound of having a tin bucket over his head and hitting it with a spoon than hearing his mother nagging him. But let me just give you a little illustration of what's going on in Proverbs. Here we are. There's some verses will start to shoot up from the bottom here. So just look at the layers. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their path. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, then things will go well. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. For I too was a son of my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. You know, I went through this as well, my son. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. And that's not the end. It goes on. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? This is obviously a bit later in life. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, get out of it as quick as you can. I want to tell you how to do your finances. My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son. The answer to my prayers. This is a mother speaking at the end of Proverbs. Just, you know, the emotional blackmail there. You know, you're the answer to my prayers. Please listen to me. Don't destroy me. Don't break my heart. This is just a guess. Just a guess, but I think your mother and father want to tell you something. This is what's going on in Proverbs. And I would want to maintain that actually the way Proverbs is set up, the business of parenting, of passing on wisdom, is absolutely central. Proverbs 1:9 is an extended exhortation to the son. I think that should be Proverbs 1:8 where it starts. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. That you've then got those chapters there, 1 to 8, where there's just that repeated sense of, please listen to wisdom, please treasure it. It'll protect you from wicked men, from bad women, from drink, from financial traps, from injustice, from this, that, the other. Please listen, and it'll give you safety and a right way to live. This is the first 8 chapters of, first 9 chapters of Proverbs is in that mode. The main section of the Proverbs of Solomon, the main gathering of those, are these chapters, chapter 10, verse 1 to 22, 16. That's the main collection. And the first verse is about the wise and the foolish son. We've looked at that already. And then towards the end, you've got this collection of the sayings of the king of Lemuel. And he's quoting his mother. It's what the mother wanted his royal son to hear, her royal son to hear. Proverbs is focused on that cause of passing on wisdom. Parenting is the biggest message of Proverbs. It's the yearning of a parent to impart wisdom to a child. It speaks about the blessing of success in that and the disaster of failure. Above all, this is a call for godly parents to make the discipling of their children their priority. And we can't view our children as a convenient add-on, something that fulfills me, that brings me completeness. We have to view our children as a God-given responsibility to bless and to nurture and disciple. And we as a church have covenanted to help parents in this task. If we're not parents or past the point of having parents of children at that stage in life or whatever, as a church, we have a policy we've received as a church to say that we accept responsibility together. Every time we have a dedication ceremony, we stand together, we say that we're going to support that parent, those parents, in their task of being good parents. We will support them. And we'll pray for those children. That's what we've said. Many of us have stood many times in this building to say we'll do that. And this is for us as a community, as well as for individual parents to take on board. Okay. So first of all, a word for parents. It's a team task. I recognize we have to be very careful when we use these terms. I recognize that in our culture, with many single parents for all sorts of reasons, and with many people choosing to be critical of single parents and to be down on single parents, that there's a great reflex when anything's mentioned of this. We need to be strong and bold as a church to say, actually, there is something God ordained about two people, a man and a woman, being responsible for a child as they grow and the things they can see and hear and feel and have modeled to them. There's this this quote, the best thing parents can do for their kids, if you don't object to the word kids, sorry about that one, is to love each other. Kids need to marinate in love. And after about 16 years, they're really juicy. That's what it says there. Josh McDowell said to me once, he said, it's more important that children know that you love each other than that they know that you love them. It's more important that the children know that you love each other than that they know that you love them, because you're the security. Now, I don't know if that's true. I understand what's being said, and I understand why you might say that. And I can also understand why you might want to put things in very stark terms to make a point. But what I do know is that father and mother are mentioned together several times in Proverbs, and it's the wisdom of both the father and the mother that is commended. And it's both the father and mother who rejoice when things go well, and it's both the father and mother who are torn up when things go badly. That Proverbs, this ancient book, recognizes that it's those two together are important in this. Both to be listened and to and respected, both troubled and distressed by a foolish son. I've used the word son there because that's what Proverbs is talking about, but it applies to daughters too. Parents who fear the Lord provide a fortress and a refuge for their children. That's what it says. If we fear the Lord, it's a fortress which is a refuge for our children. That we're building a home that is not just a loving place, but is a place where there's that centrality of God in it. The good purpose of Jesus, those wonderful outworkings of the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These things. These are blessings. This becomes a refuge. Our children need a refuge. They need to come out, back out from the from whatever the batters the battering is they get in the world, and be able to come to a refuge and have that place of safety to go out from again. These are important truths. Children are blessed who have righteous parents. We have to look at our own lives as parents, as we fulfill our role in parents. And Proverbs says a lot about faithfulness. Stuart chose last week, and we always have to choose as preachers because you can't cover everything. But he chose last week to focus very much when we're talking about that wisdom between men and women. He chose very much to speak about what are the positive dimensions of the way we should be looking for somebody who is an appropriate partner for us. But Proverbs has loads to say about avoiding those temptations, those sexual temptations that destroy relationship. And I think in our culture, I don't know if any of you picked it up, but the Today program, I think, is it 50 years or 60 years old this week? 50. And they were asking listeners to say, what's changed most in the British culture over those 50 years? And number one, of course, is sexual relations. And they had a little interview with three people, and it was absolutely disgraceful. It was an awful, awful, awful thing to listen to. And I won't repeat it. But sexual relations have changed so radically. And part of the outworking of that is the huge divorce rate we have in our country, and the numbers of children who are growing up without these kinds of modeling going on. Now, just as I said about single parents, let me say, I'm not going to issue a criticism from the front for folk who, for whatever reason, you find marriages break up. God only can judge, I can't judge. That's not my calling. My calling is to love and to nurture and to protect and build as far as I can. But please, brothers and sisters, make no mistake that as we enter into relationships that are going to give rise to children, let's make sure we go into those relationships in the way that is godly, for the reasons that are godly, so that we actually have in our minds a purpose to provide that place that's going to be good for our children. And if we are already in marriages, let's make them work. You know, I'm not a great fan of the phrase, we stay together for the children, because it feels like a very grudging kind of place to be. It feels like you're saying, well, okay, we'll gut it out for the sake of the children. But what I would say is, make your marriage a success for the sake of the children. Aim for a marriage where you sort out some of those things which are tearing you apart. Those places where you keep fighting. Those places where you just find it impossible to see eye to eye over disciplining the children. Put the effort into it. Because it's not just you at stake here, and it's not just your partner at stake here. it's the future of those children at stake here. And if you provide that place of safety in the Lord, you know, fearing the Lord and his ways, that whatever you, well, haven't got time to unpack that phrase here and now. Chris did it 2 weeks ago. Listen to his sermon. We then make a refuge for our children, and they can grow there well. Okay, so that's a word for parents, particularly for that parental, the relationship in the home. I want to stop and say any questions, but no, maybe we should carry on. A word about discipline. The only thing that I don't like about this cartoon is that it says kids today. Because my reading of Proverbs would seem to indicate that it's been going on for a long, long time. That this problem of actually having kids understand boundaries and understand authority and understand discipline and accept the leadership of parents and those sort of things is something that has gone on for at least 3,000 years. And I think the word today is quite misleading. I know many wonderful children today, but clearly here, there's that sense here that I've read the books, but I must have missed some chapters because the child seems to be dictating the pace of things in this home. And let's have a look at some of the teaching. Now, Proverbs commends discipline and disturbs us by talking about rods. And I put this picture of this guy up here because I think when people think of Proverbs and parenting, they often think of those references about rods, which we'll have a look at in a second, and they have this picture of an angry parent and an aggressive parent. Let's just have a look at the verses that are the offending items. So whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Discipline your child, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. Okay, I want to just say a few things about those verses, because I have heard in my lifetime people saying, I want to be a Christian. They obviously weren't. They're identifying with the church. I want to be a Christian because I understand that you can hit your children. There have been Christian writers who've given the impression that this is what Christian parents should do, is hit their children. Can I make a few very simple points? Number one is the parents addressed here are reluctant to discipline. The whole point of Proverbs saying to a parent, please discipline your child, is what? It's because they're not disciplining their child. If you gain any pleasure from inflicting pain on your child or causing them misery, then you have a problem, and I'd love to pray with you afterwards. This is not addressing people who enjoy hurting children. This is addressing people who are so averse to anything which confronts their child that they're not disciplining them at all. That's number one. That's an obvious point, isn't it? Number two, Proverbs states things in extreme terms to make a point. And I could have dipped in anywhere. As it happens, I put in 17 verse 1, because 17 verse 1 says, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Clearly, you can't survive on crusts every day. What Proverbs does, it goes, bang, here's a statement. In extreme terms, just to pour a bucket of cold water over your head to make you think, goodness me, What's the issue here? How am I going to respond to that? And it's clearly in this verse here that it's better to have peace than having huge plenty. But, you know, it's not commending, therefore, that we should live on crusts. And the same goes here. What the issue at stake here is it's the message about discipline, not about the means. Proverbs is absolutely 100% clear that we as parents must discipline our children. If we don't discipline our children's lives are ruined. I know children who are on the path to ruin because they have parents who find it impossible to set a boundary and stick to it. They've actually say to me, you know, I can't set this boundary and keep it. I can't do it. And the child knows that they can keep on and keep on and keep on, and they are a nightmare for everybody. And it's going to destroy their lives. But discipline doesn't have to be hitting, does it? And this morning's talk isn't an opportunity to try and go and look at the parenting books and give all these other ways and methods. But please, from Scripture, do know that you as a Christian parent are not being told, please beat your children. You're being told, discipline them. That's really important, to discipline them. Mind you, I have to say, going back to the first slide with the nagging, with Bart bashing his bucket over his head, my son, when I would ask him to look at me in my eyes, say, Daniel, look at me, you know, and I think he'd have much preferred that I'd hit him, actually, than the nag or the instruction. But it's a blessing to have strong children, and they grow into strong adults. But we just need to be good shepherds of them. Yeah, I think there's some statistic, I won't worry about that one, but it's do not panic if your child is a strong child. They can become a wonderful force for good. But you do need to stay with it. And just remember, again, another phrase of Josh McDowell, he says, the proof of your parenting isn't judged at 15 or at 20, but at 30. So don't judge your parenting until your children get to 30. And that's a comfort. Because we dislike administering discipline, some of us do not. That's what Proverbs is saying. Perhaps in our day and age, we're so keen to be mates, we neglect to be parents. Does that strike any bells? That we really want to be mates with our children. We're so scared that we might spoil that relationship. We so don't want to distance them that we forget we're parents, and that's our calling. And that has that place of having to bring wisdom to our children's lives. And we have to bring that in the appropriate way for them. And true love will seek the good, not the comfortable. You know, if you've got a great relationship with your child, it's not going to be ruined by disciplining them. But what will surely be ruined will be that relationship if they go right off the rails and they blame you for that, or their life becomes a complete wreck. Right, finally, a word to children. It's interesting when you study for a sermon, you have a title, and you realise actually there's a limitation of the title, and it says wise with children, but actually there's a whole swathe in this thing about children being wise with parents. So we've got one youth in here. This is all for you. Proverbs repeatedly invites the son to accept the direction of his parents. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. You know, it's not, son, I just want you to somehow succumb to my pressure. I want you to actually to give me your heart. I want you to be somebody who can see the good intention of what I'm offering you. You know, so that's back to those relationships again, isn't it? The mother, we've already read this, listen, my son, listen, son of my womb, listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. This queen, I presume it's a queen, it's certainly the mother of royalty, she goes on to say, you know, you're going to be a king, I want you to be a good king. If you use wisdom, you're going to be such a good king. But if you don't, you're going to ruin the lives of your people. And such a lovely sort of sentiment here. She really wants him to listen so that he can really fulfill his potential. But there's always a choice, isn't there? And Proverbs says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. And clearly, that's a truth, that we have a choice to make. We always have choices to make, and sometimes we choose to resist what is being offered. We think it's not legitimate for our parents to tell us something that we should do. Maybe there are things we picked up from friends. Maybe there are things we picked up from the media. Maybe there's things we've got from all sorts of people. Maybe there's just selfish, sinful drives. But for whatever reason, we decide, no, I'm not going to respect this is the wish of my parents. I'm going to go my own way. And there's always a choice. There's always a choice. And there are always consequences. I do like this graphic. Here's this man sitting in the middle of a ring of very large dominoes, and he's pushing one over. Oh, that's fun. But what he doesn't know is he's going to go all the way around and come back and go smack and hit him on the back and squash him. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Now, that's just saying exactly what the Ten Commandments say. The commandment about children in the Ten Commandments is honor your father and mother. It's actually not obey, it's actually honor, which actually can be often harder than obeying. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy says to honor your father and mother that you may live long and prosper in the land the Lord's giving you, that we need that wisdom. Now, I've put up here a few images. And there's impala, and there's lions, and there's killer whales, and there's elephants. And the bigger the brain, the longer it is to independence. So an impala, it's about a year that they're independent. They can run pretty much straight from birth. A lion, it's 2 years, because they have a lot to learn. They've got a much more complicated way of life. They have to learn how to hunt and how to stay safe. Recent research shows with the elephants and the killer whales that actually the old women in those groups are really, really important. I presume a group of elephants is a herd. Is a group of killer whales a pod, is it? Would that be, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, a pod of killer whale that loses its old female will suffer. And the one which can keep its old female and that female remains alive for a good time will do much better on all measures. Same's been found true to be of elephants. By the way, in both cases, the males push off, apparently. But it's a bit like 21st century Britain, isn't it? They found the same with the elephants. So they, with some droughts going back some years now, quite a lot of the older females died, and the herds struggled because they didn't know some of the secrets of where to find the water, when they should move to find the pastures, how to get from here to there and not die of thirst in the meantime, how to avoid predators, how to care for children, you know, the young, the calves. Fact is, God has made us so that we need a long time of being nurtured through our lives. That's the fact, isn't it? And the fact is, young people, that we're foolish if we don't recognize that There's going to be tussles with our parents. That's as it should be, because we have to start defining our own way in life. There are going to be tussles. There have to be tussles if things are going to develop and change from generation to generation. Otherwise, things just stagnate and stay static. So there has to be change, of course. But don't lose the blessings. Make sure that whatever you're doing in terms of your parents, it's done in that spirit of respect, listening to them. You know, they know us so well when it comes to, say, marriage partners. They can often see some of the pitfalls that somebody else, you know, you can see that there's an emotional attraction, but there's going to be a nightmare here. They can see sometimes about careers, things that are going to lead you into blind paths, etc., etc. Make sure that parents are respected, not slavishly obeyed. I believe that, not slavishly obeyed, but respected, really respected, listened to, honoured. And that's a choice of young people. Right, what's the message for you today? Now, I'm aware that when you have a message like this, there are many, many possible directions that you can be going off in terms of the different stages of life. Maybe at the point where you've been saying, well, actually, the message for me today is I need to get my marriage sorted out. And I need our home to be the sort of place which can do for my children what I want to do for those children. And that means I've got to sort it out with my husband, I've got to sort it out with my wife. I've got to get this working well. Maybe that's the message for you this morning. Maybe there's a message realizing actually you just really do hate setting those boundaries and sticking to them. You just want to let your children be happy and just do that thing that in the short term will make them happy. And you really don't like the confrontation of saying, actually, there is a line here, and child of mine, loved child of mine, you need to be able to learn to stay within that boundary. And I'll put this boundary down. It hurts me, but with whatever wisdom our society has in terms of how best to administer discipline, I will be faithful in discipline. But you know, this last message, as I was preparing, I thought, this is a really broad message. I know I've been speaking to our one representative youngster here about how you should respect your parents, make your choices for your parents, but actually, oh, sorry, three up there. There's four of you. That's far more diluted as a message. There we go. But you know, I believe there are adults in here who have never come to terms with the blessing that your parents have been. I believe there are adults in here who still basically resent your parents. I'm sure there have been parents involved with some of us who have been brutal, and of course you don't respect that. I'm sure there have been parents who have been very foolish in some directions. I'm sure there's parents who maybe have made decisions for my life based on their ambitions rather than what's good for me. Of course that's true. But boys, we've all got big thank yous to say to our parents. And maybe for some of us, this morning's a morning to say, God, I want to give you my resentments about my parents. I want to say I'm sorry that I've been holding that bitterness. I want to let that go. And I want to just give you thanks for what I've received. You know, these things can go so deep, can't they? I have a friend who tells me the story that as a four-year-old, she and her brothers were dropped off at a children's home. And her mother said, I'll see you in the morning. And so she kept her coat on and a little bag by her all night and sat in the hallway of this children's home. And in the morning, her brother came down and said, what are you doing here? She said, I'm waiting for mummy. And brother just laughed. He said, oh, she's not coming back. And she didn't. And that woman has had a family herself that has failed and had the social services take her children away. She's had a had a daughter who's had a marriage that has failed. And so she took that daughter's children in, her grandchildren in, to look after them. But that failed, so she's had that taken away. It's two generations of children taken away. Because she was dreadfully wounded by being rejected by her mother in that way and having to make her own way in life. How many of us have got parents who have done that to us? For most of us, we've had parents who've given us maybe very flawed parenting, but have given us parenting. And I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but that was what was on my heart coming here today, that I think this message about honoring our parents, receiving their wisdom, is not just for our four youngsters and their choices they need to make, but I think there's some unfinished business for a lot of folk here. And maybe afterwards you might want to come down and pray through some of that stuff. Or maybe in the course of the week you might want to ring somebody up, me up, somebody else, don't know, and say, listen, I just realized that there are those things in my heart that I resent my mother or my father or whatever. And I've never really accepted that they were God's gift as my parents. Let's pray. Can I have the band back up? Father God, I thank you for the families in this church. And I pray for them that you'd give great wisdom to parents and to children as they work out their relationships. And I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that you'd bless us as being good Christian supports, being that community of your people who can wrap around those families and be that support in whatever ways are appropriate. And I pray, Father, that where there are those choices in our hearts that have left us with these long-term things in our lives that sit there as wounds that limit us, I pray that this morning there would be healing and progress. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.